This is Doug Miller. It's with much tribulation that we will enter into the kingdom. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again. One more time, by the grace of God, to open up the book, the Bible, and sit before this mic and talk. After all, it is by teaching the Word of God that people, the believers, are edified, built up, and by hearing the Word of God that people are saved. And so we are praying and have been praying and will continue to pray that the Lord will indeed use this ministry to reach many, to change lives, to open eyes, to jar loose some of the old foundation, to build up, and whatever else the Lord can do with me and with this Word. It is His work, after all, and has to do with me only to the extent that I can make myself available to Him. I have said many times and will continue to say that we here at Dialogue are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our Lord Jesus Christ and the people He can use by His Holy Spirit. We need your prayers and we need your support. Please pray for Dialogue. You have no idea the way that the enemy can come at us and attack us, and we need your prayers, so please write Dialogue down on your little prayer list and pray for us, tell others about us, and we would always love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from those who are listening to us, to know where you are, to know what we can do to help you, questions that we can ask, and what have you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you later on. You might also wish to email us. So here is our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. That's for those of you who like to write emails and don't particularly like to write letters in longhand. No problem. Email us. We have a webpage. You can pull that up, read about Dialogue, and pull down the messages that are recorded and that are on there, and you can listen to them. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, once again, all one word, all small letters, .org. That is dialogueministries.org. Do not put .com in or you will not get Dialogue Ministries. Now, if you wish to call Dialogue and talk to me, you may call at 405-535-9089. 405-535-9089. Now, you're going to get a recording, but I will get back with you as soon as I can. Understand, I've said this before, and those of you who listen to Dialogue know it, we've got no secretaries. Not going to have. This is a very small ministry by intent. We intend to keep it that way and keep it simple to the extent that we can, so that we're not paying out money for unnecessary things and using the money to get the gospel and this message out. Okay. So much for the preliminaries. Let's get into the book of Acts. The last time we were in here, we were in the 14th chapter. We left off at verse 18, so let's pick it up at verse 19. Now, from 19 on to the end of this chapter, It's one of those kind of passages that doesn't necessarily seem to have an awful lot going on for it. It's rather ordinary, just an ongoing story about Paul and Barnabas and the problems they have out there in the wild blue yonder preaching the gospel. And yet there's some interesting and important things here. So let's see if we can pick them up. We have got in verse 19, you want to talk about importance. Here we have Paul doing what Paul so often did, offending people. Now, I have prayed many times, you must believe me, that many times it is a matter of prayer for me, because I am keenly aware of the fact that when you get in a program like this, and when you sit down with people listening, and when you start talking out of this Bible, and when you start going verse by verse and assume that this book is the truth, when that happens, inevitably and invariably, you're going to offend people. There are a world of interpretations out there. There are people doing things out there that I wouldn't begin to even think about doing, and yet they are very sincere. I know of no way of teaching this book and this Bible other than just taking it at its face value, let it say what it says, put it out there, and let people either take it in or reject it. I don't know of another way of doing it. I am somewhat comforted to see that Paul also was very offensive to many people. And when you look at it here, I mean, Paul and Barnabas have just come out of a situation where they were hailed as gods. We saw that last time, didn't we? They just came out of that situation where they were hailed as gods. Now they are in a situation where they are all but killed, at least Paul. Let's pick it up in verse 19. And there came thither to where? Well, there came thither to Lycaonia. To Lycaonia. That's where they were hailed as gods because they healed the cripple man. And who follows them but individuals? And it says here, certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium that came and followed Paul. Now, here is one of those sorts of deals. I saw a lady on TV just today. She is a school teacher, and she was, I guess she's out of work right now. It was not I think this was out in California, I believe. And she was, blaming it on, and she said, those Zionist Jews who are running the banks. And I thought, what a disgusting, sickening thing to hear from this individual. Those Zionist Jews who are running the banks. And, of course, plenty of Gentiles are running the banks. The lady who said this was a black lady, and I just wondered, as I heard that from her, has she learned nothing from her experience? Does it mean nothing to her, the prejudice that's been directed against her people for so long? What is she trying to do, and what does she think she's accomplishing by showing the same kind of bigotry and prejudice that she decries when it's directed against her? Now, I don't know why she would say this, but she said it and it didn't bother her at all, apparently. And it always, it really makes me very weary to hear this kind of stuff. And yet, you got to tell it like it is. Who were these guys that came from Antioch and Iconium to Lycaonia, following after Paul and Barnabas? Who were they? They were Jews. Can't make them Gentiles. I can't say they were Irishmen or Germans. They weren't Russians. They were Jews. Why were they following Paul and Barnabas? They were following Paul and Barnabas because they didn't like what they were teaching and preaching. What were Paul and Barnabas teaching and preaching? They were teaching and they were preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the result? And what was it about this? Well, among other things, that these Jews who came from Antioch and Iconium, they didn't like the gospel. They didn't like it told that Jesus was Messiah, that Messiah had been crucified, dead, and buried, that that man hanging on that middle cross who died for our sins is, was, will ever be very God of very God. This was offensive to them. And therefore, they're going to put an end to it if they can. Now, of course, they can't. They can do what they wish and say what they wish, and when the dust settles, they cannot put a stop to this because it was of God. And they draw Paul out of the city, as we see here, and stoned him. And they thought he was dead, and they went on their way. And the disciples stood round about him in verse 20, and he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe, and he's off once again, he and Barnabas. Now, these men, what does it take to do what they did? What does it take? What can you do to this man, Paul, to discourage him, to slow him down? Why can't he get the message? So many people, when this kind of thing happens to them, I mean, that would be it. Man, I've had all of this I want. I'm going back to Tarsus or to Jerusalem or wherever I came from, and I'm going to lay low. You know, I'm a little lukewarm about these flying rocks. Paul cannot be stopped. He will not be turned aside. He knew from the very first. God made it clear to him, as we remember when we were reading back in his Damascus Road experience and the subsequent events, you know, in Damascus that occurred there. He knew and was made to know that he was going to suffer a great deal to do what the Lord had called him to do. And nothing can dissuade this guy. Nothing can slow him down. Now, for those of you who are out there involved in the Lord's work, and that ought to be every single Christian who was ever born into God's family. I don't care who you are or what you are. I don't care what your gift is. You ought to be functioning within your gift where God has put you and be involved in the Lord's work. What does it take to discourage you and stop you? What does it take? You know, I remember a man, his name was John Elliott. He was from Northern Ireland. You may have heard me talk on, I mentioned him here before. John lived to be, in his mid-80s and went home to be with the Lord. John used to say, as an old man, he told me and he told others, if you pray for me, pray that I will finish well. Pray that I will finish well. That's important to me, he said. And he said, if you only knew how many people I know, when I was a young man, they were in the work with us. They were enthusiastic about the things of the Lord. They were out preaching the gospel or doing this, that, and the other for the Lord, and they long since cooled in their ardor and long since stopped and quit. Oh, friends, if I could tell you how many people I know that are just like that. They were with us. They were a part of us. They were out there in the work. And they have long since cooled and fallen away. What does it take to discourage you and stop you? Well, I'll tell you one thing. The individual who goes on, who keeps going forward, is the one who is clear and certain about his calling and what the Lord has called him and sent him to do, or her, if we're talking about a woman. And Paul knew. And he and Barnabas went to Derbe the day after he'd been stoned. And what did they do? They preached the gospel to that city, and they taught many. And then they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, right back to the place that these guys came out of that stoned them. They went right back again, right back at them. You know, you have got to, at least I have got to, admire the courage and the determination and the dedication of these men. Now, you who are listening to me, if you are unsaved, you're not. This is not going to make a lot of sense to you. And the thing that you need to do is get saved. But those of you who are saved, I hope that you're not just sitting around somewhere at home and saying, as so many say, well, you know, you'll talk to them. I don't go to the church down there, and I just can't find one I like. Friend, there are plenty of Bible-believing churches out there, plenty of places where the Lord Jesus Christ is being honored and where he is the center and where he is the one to whom we are drawn. There are plenty of places. And this business of not being able to find a church, well, look, the problem is you. It's not the church. You need to get in with other believers. God never intended for us to be out here all by ourselves. But there is something else. You know, there are so many people in this world right now who have no idea what the point of life even is. They are so cynical and so hardened. You know, there is no reason for a Christian to be that way. As believers, we have our plates full. We have plenty to do. There is lots to be done. And if you come to me and say, well, I don't have any particular talents or gifts or anything, I'm just an ordinary guy here. Listen, you do have gift. And the thing for you to do is pray about it and find out what that gift is. And I can tell you right now that your gift does not involve your sitting around at home by yourself. The gifts are to the body. They are to the church. And you need to be in an assembly of believers where you can exercise your gift for the good of other people. I've said it more than once, you know, I don't need my gift. I've got my gift. You need my gift. I need to be sharing that with you. You don't need your gift. I need your gift. Your gift is something I don't have. And that is why we need to be together and helping and building one another up. Look at these guys. Back to Iconium and Antioch they go. Doing what? Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Well, who would know that better than Paul and Barnabas? It's going to get tough out there, they told these guys. And they exhorted them, continue in the faith. And when it gets tough, just keep on keeping on. You know, the old saying, when you get to the end of your rope, just tie a knot in the end of it and hang on. Because the Lord is not unmindful of what you're going through. He knows very well. And he cares, and I can assure you, on the authority of Romans 8:28, that all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So whatever is going on with you, you go forward, trust in the Lord, and let him bring it out. Now look what else they did in verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, here is one of those deals where, you know, I know that I'm going to step on some toes. It doesn't say here, but let me go ahead and step on some toes. It doesn't say here anything about appointing the pastor of the church. You've heard me say it before, and you will hear me continue to say it. The New Testamental pattern is not the pastor of the church. I don't care what your pastor in your church is telling you. The New Testamental pattern is pastors, plural, in a church. And that's exactly what these elders were. And if you don't believe that, you hang on and wait till we get to the 20th chapter of Acts, and I'll show you. The elders are the pastors, and it is a plurality, and it is not a one-man show. I have a friend who's in a church, and he complains about it to me all the time. I don't know why he stays here, because they have got an individual who is the pastor of the church, and he is, let's face it, the absolute dictator. And he thinks that's God's will. Well, I've got news for you. God doesn't have dictators in the church. The dictator is the Lord Jesus. He is the head, and the administrator is the Holy Spirit. And under the Holy Spirit, or under the Lord Jesus, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, are these under-shepherds, and it is always a plurality in the New Testament church. Always. I have been for years now saying to anyone I could get to listen, if you know of a place in this Bible, in this New Testament, that talks about the pastor of the church, I want you to show it to me, because I don't know about it. And I've looked at it, and I've looked and looked. But I certainly see pastors, plural, in a church. And that's the pattern, and that's what these guys do. And they commended them to the Lord. And then they move on. Now, Paul and Barnabas are itinerant preachers. That's what they do, and so they move on. And after they'd passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So they come back home again, and I like this. I like this. I say that anyone who has been commended to the work of the Lord out of an assembly out there, whether it's to a mission field or some other work, you know, there are a lot of works out here that churches are commending people to and sending people out to do, works in the inner cities, works in mission fields, works, you know, in home Bible studies, whatever. But notice that Paul and Barnabas go right back to the commending assembly, and what do? Well, we read it in verses 27 and 28, don't we? When they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Now, this is the way it ought to be. Back come the missionaries, and they gather the brethren together. They come right back to the commending assembly, get them all together, and say, all right, now listen, this is where we've been, and this is what we've done, and this is what has happened. This is what the Lord has done out there. This must have been tremendously exciting to the church there at Antioch. These were the ones, after all, that had laid hands on these men and sent them out and had supported them and been behind them. Did they need to hear what had been going on out there? Of course they did. And you see a pattern here that I hope is being followed in all the churches out there, but maybe it is and maybe it isn't. Well, that's all we'll have time for today. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.